Hello, this is Chris Weigel of Human Dog Productions. I'm filling in for Madge Weinstein, your gentle host here at Yeast Radio. Madge is off undergoing severe labia therapy in Switzerland. And she asked me before she blacked out entirely to guest host the show today. The theme, of course, is anger. And thinking about that, I thought I'd discuss my anger and my resentment of mainstream television news in America and media in general. And I thought I'd get the perspectives of some people who I think share at least a little bit of that anger that I have towards the media and what they are doing about it. In short, I consider the mainstream news media of America to be just as guilty as George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld of leading this country into an unprovoked, unjustified, illegal war. I consider all of them, from the TV people, the executives, the editors, the writers, in one way or another, they are all guilty and they all have blood on their hands. I consider the fools that stand in front of the camera and read the news to be the most disgusting examples of empty suits this country has ever produced. They are completely derelict in their duty. They are guilty of not only leading us into war and of mass murder, but they are guilty of keeping the American public in their stupid, squalid, ignorant, eighth grade mindsets. And in response to that, we've seen the rise of blogging, we've seen the rise of podcasting and video blogging, alternative media sources. And so we've seen some individuals take it upon themselves to reject the attitudes and reject the brainwashing that comes toward them and create their own media. But the media by itself cannot operate, cannot perform its function of maintaining state power, maintaining the status quo, without at least some willingness on behalf of the audience. And some of that willingness to buy into the establishment, to buy into the status quo and maintain this insanity is also prevalent and present in some of the people who have taken it upon themselves to create an alternative media. And with me tonight are Ryan Hodson of ryanedit.blogspot.com and freevlog.org and Jay Dedman of momentshowing.com. And they are both pioneers in the video blogging or video podcasting now medium. And I'd like to talk with them about their thoughts on not only the mainstream media, but those who make their own media and the attitudes that they express in the media they make and some of the things that they internalize. So welcome, Jay and Ryan.
Hello, Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Hi. Jay, I'd like to start with you because I know that you've been working in media for a little while now. Right now, why don't you tell everybody where you're working now and where you've worked in the past?
Sure. Right now I work at MNN, which is a community TV station here in Manhattan. But I got started out writing and producing for local news and then for at CNN International in Atlanta.
And how long were you at CNN?
I was really only there for about a year and a half, so not very long, but long enough to get, you know, kind of get an idea of how the place operated and, you know, kind of got in sync with what they were doing there.
And what were your expectations going into CNN? What were you expecting to do and to find going there?
Yeah, sure. I was, I was young. I was in my early to mid-20s, and I really thought I'd kind of hit the mark when I got to CNN because that was like the big time. CNN, this was in 99, so they were still like on their high from the Gulf War coverage, and they were still like number one, and Fox was just kind of coming up, and I was really excited because I thought that they were it. And CNN still had this idea of they were the trusted news source around the world. And I got in with CNN International, so we were actually making the news for different countries, not really the news that you would see here in America. And I really thought that was exciting because my big interest was, you know, kind of connecting the world and learning about what was going on in other countries. And, you know, globalization was still kind of a new term. Like, I was there when the, at Seattle, as riots happened. So all these tensions were happening while I was there.
Now, when you went to work there, what were your impressions of mainstream news media in the U.S.? Did you think you were getting an accurate representation of things? Did you have any issues with them, or what was your general idea?
I think that, you know, I'm 32 now, and at the time, I feel like I was a pretty normal, you know, young American in the sense, like, I'd never really grown up watching the its news. And I just got into news because I was more interested in writing, and I really didn't have any expectations, and I always thought news was actually kind of silly, but I wanted to take it seriously, and I thought, like, I would learn to be very serious at CNN, because when I had cut my teeth in local news, I quickly saw it was a complete joke. I mean, I got hired for this local news station, this Fox News station in Cincinnati, Ohio. They paid me $7 an hour, and I was writing for the news. I was not from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd never done this before. And I mean, although I appreciate the opportunity they gave me, I now look back how it was pretty irresponsible for them to give me that kind of power, you know? But I quickly learned like they didn't really care, you know? They were just happy to get it on.
What do you think the attitude of that station or CNN was towards their audience?
Well, the local news station definitely, it was a cash cow. You know, local news in U.S. markets is really, you're just making a lot of its money for the local stations. And so they didn't really care as long as you put something on and made, you know, and to definitely, what was more important was don't make its mistake as far as like switching the cameras and stuff. Like that was more important than what the truth was, you know. At CNN, it's a little different. I mean, they definitely took their news it seriously, and CNN is a big place, and I met some really good journalists there. But there is a feeling there that you don't cover certain things. There are questions you don't ask. There's a way of doing things, and news has to be pretty quick, so you don't spend a lot of time investigating anything.
Now, was this overt? Were you told this explicitly, or was that just an atmosphere or mood?
Absolutely not. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not a conspiracy, like, these are the things we can't talk about, but when you're in the morning, it's meeting, going over what you're going to talk about for the day, there's definitely a directive about what the top stories are, and that's what's going to lead every hour until something changes. And, you know, and there's this idea, like, you don't really need to dig too deep on certain things, that you pretty much follow what's on AP, it's Wires, or it's Reuters. You pretty much take down anything that the White House says. You pretty much just, you know, put that out there because it's news. George Bush today says this.
Now, shortly after your time at CNN, you went out, you went to somewhere in Africa, I believe, with a camera. What were your intentions?
Right. Well, that was my first attempt to video blog. This is in 2000. And I quit CNN, and I'd been doing some African news for them, and I realized like they weren't covering a lot of Africa. One place was the Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, where there was a war there. And so I went with a little DV camera and a laptop with Final Cut Pro, and the idea was I would make little stories and post them on the internet.
And you had no kind of a official assignment from anything, or were you just doing it on your own?
Absolutely, I'd saved up. Yeah, go.
Now, how come you decided to then do it on your own? Why did you then, you know, what was it that said, okay, CNN isn't working out, I've got to just go out and do it directly?
Absolutely. I mean, I was there for a year and a half. I was bored to tears, and I was really hungry, and I saw the people above me who I was aiming, you know, who I would be working into their jobs, and they were just like kind of just overweight guys who were producers, and they look really sad, and I didn't want to be like that, you know.
And so now after I guess the video from Africa at the time, the internet wasn't quite ready yet to handle it. So
yeah,
you came back, and you've done what now?
What I mean, you want to? Yeah, I mean, at the time, like it just was not possible to do what I wanted to do there. Like being an independent journalist and uploading its video, and plus my skills weren't really as ready at that moment. So it was a valiant attempt, and I got a lot of good stuff, and it was a pretty crazy experience to be alone, freelance in the Democratic Republic of Congo. But I came back, and then about two years later, I realized you could, it's video blog, and that's really how the magic started.
Okay, so now you've done a lot of work promoting video blogs, and Ryan, you've joined Jay, and you've done a lot of work with FreeVlog, where you've encouraged people to make their own media. Why, Ryan?
Well, I also started out in television. I worked at the PBS affiliate in Boston, which is one of the biggest affiliates. You know, they make Nova and a bunch of, you know, children's programs. So, you know, I was there and I was feeling very stuck as well.
Now, PBS is very different from CNN. The impression that a lot of people get from PBS is that they're more open to exploring issues in depth and doing things. I know you were working on a children's show, but how did the attitudes of this PBS station compare to what Jay experienced or what you know from that?
Yeah, I mean, the WGBH is very liberal in their thinking and in their productions, and it's good, but the problem is that we saw with the whole Buster the Bunny controversy is that the money, a lot of the money comes from the government and it's CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They're supposed to be like a private corporation funded by the American people, right? But they're actually closely affiliated with the government. So what happened in that situation was that the Board of Education just came down on the producers and PBS and GBH for showing a gay couple in Vermont. And so they took away the funding, and CPB took away their funding, and the show's over. So to see something like that happen in a place where you feel like, okay, they produce Nova, they produce Frontline, which is a very, you know, hard-hitting, you know, they go deep in their stories. For them to get attacked so harshly from funders just goes to show you, like, nobody's safe. If you're getting money from people, nobody's safe from that. So that actually happened right before I left. That I had already started video blogging, and that was happening right as my job was ending. I was just gonna quickly get back to your question.
Go ahead.
For me, I felt like there wasn't, even at a PBS station that was so liberal, that there wasn't enough freedom. I couldn't make my own show. I was just like an editor there, you know? And I had stuff that I wanted to say. So I just got, you know, kind of like Jay. I had a DV cam and I have my laptop with Final Cut Pro, and I know how to edit and I know how to do web stuff. And for the reason why I wanted to start FreeVlog, well, Michael started it, but we built the second version together, Michael Verdi. We wanted people to know, like, just because we're editors and we're people who knew web stuff doesn't mean that you can't do it too. You know, a lot of people have digital cameras and computers with this software and they don't even know it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of just like saying, okay, CNN's not the only one who can get their voice out there and get it distributed. So can you, you know, so, just pick up your little camera.
Anybody can do it, and anybody can get their things distributed. And I think we've talked about it, and Madge has certainly talked about it a lot, the idea that of this freedom of distribution and freedom of content creation is a very good and wonderful thing. But and we've talked about that, and it certainly exists, but I'd like to think, get your opinions on what you think are some of the downsides of this, or some of the pitfalls that you see coming. I know, Jay, I've spoken to you about your time working at MNN, which offers free television production facilities to anyone living in Manhattan. What do you see are some of the drawbacks of this, or some of the dangers that content creators could fall into, or you know, what do you think, what's the downside of it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if danger and downside are the right words, but obviously, and journalists like to point this out, is that telling the truth isn't easy, mm-hmm. you know, that we now have the technology for anyone to distribute its message throughout the world through the internet, but what are you going to say? That the problem is that a lot of people we just have not been taught how to research, how to word our arguments, you know, how to, you know, learn about the world and then give it back in a way that's going to be, it's useful. So you get a lot of, you know, stuff where just people are talking about their personal lives because that's the thing they know the most. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to, it's going to be an evolution, Chris, you know, and we're going to have to get some journalists who are tired of working for the mainstream media to do real journalism work, but using this new free distribution system.
And actually, I want to chime in.
Yeah, go ahead.
That you actually sent me that article, that two-part article, the other day, and I was reading it last night, and there were some parts that really, really hit me. The problem with sort of the mainstream media questioning video blogs and podcasters is the thing they always ask is, what makes you credible? Like, why are they going to listen to you over me, who's at, you know, wherever, CNN or Minnesota Public Radio is one place we got interviewed. But the interesting thing about the article that you sent me was that, you know, like, what about someone makes them credible altogether? Is it because they're getting paid by a company to write this stuff? Is it because they went to school for it? You know, it's like, that's what's interesting to me is, yeah, who's going to be credible? And also, yeah, what's going to happen with people who do know how to do this and when they are going to break out of, like, the New York Times, because so much shit has gone down there, you know?
Right, Chris, I mean, I think what happens is that, and what has, as it's, we've seen in text blogging, is that suddenly you have people that can check the facts,
right.
You know? And then they can also help set the agenda, where before, like a news source could get away with just giving a story that may or may not be true, but now they can't do that because you have bloggers, for instance, who can just start echoing mm-hmm. and creating such a stir that right. it's got to be covered again,
right.
you know?
And it's like with journalists, they don't have the opportunity to, number one, dig deeper, and number two, bring things up over and over again. Like, in the article, and like we all know this, when the White House says, we're moving on from this subject, no one's going to keep, like, crusading about it because they'll be blacklisted, you know, because everyone's going to say, all right, you're a nut job. Like, get off the subject. No one's talking about that anymore, you know? And that's the thing with bloggers is I can make a whole blog about something if I don't like it and I can talk about it, you know? And that's the great thing about it is, like, you do have the power. You don't have someone over your head.
How do you feel about that, Chris?
Well, I agree with you. However, I think what I mean is, when Jay was talking about working at CNN, or when you were talking about working at WGBH, or what the article was talking about, was kind of these guidelines or these frameworks that people internalize, and they don't really realize that they've internalized them. And so without knowing it, that affects and shapes the kind of content they will produce. And at the same time, those internalized frameworks dictate what they will accept in, what they will accept to watch, and what they then deem as authoritative, as good, as something you should listen to. And so I think that the danger that exists in all of this newfound freedom in media is that very few individuals will ever take advantage of it. And instead, rather than embrace that freedom, in many cases, you'll see them shouting it down, stomping it, discrediting it, unless it looks, sounds, and feels and falls within those frameworks that are of accepted discourse. What do you think about that?
I agree. But like I said, I think it's an evolution, you know? I think people my parents' age, for sure. My dad probably will never listen to a podcast in his life, you know? Who knows? But, you know, that's just because he was raised watching ABC, NBC, and CBS, the 3, 6 o'clock it's news anchors. People my age, you know, I'll accept something else. You know, someone who's 10 is going to accept something totally, it's different. Mm-hmm. It's going to come over time. And Chris, as we've talked about, we need the creators. We need the strong voices to come in to set the example. I mean, this is like, it's vaudeville or something that turned into Hollywood, you know? That's where we're at right now, you know? We're in such a primitive age in this new, you know, it's media landscape. It's anyone's game right now.
I agree. I think things will evolve, you know? People will evolve and creators will evolve, you know? That's what happens with any medium, you know?
For instance, Chris, can I give you an example? So, like, I think it was a week or two ago on Blip TV, you know, someone started posting video from Iraq. I don't know if they were English or American, but, you know, there was some bomb explosion that happened it's Mondays ago, and they had its video of, like, the aftermath. And it was just kind of its video, kind of crappy, I guess. But the fact was, it was video from Iraq that an individual had posted.
Right.
And as people start spreading out across the earth with this technology and this know-how, we're going to really start seeing things as they're happening that are not filtered. And that's when things are really going to start changing.
All right, we're right upon our last minute. Are either of you concerned about this space being defined from something external or being defined in a way that you think will limit it?
You mean by what, like a corporation or
by anything? Maybe just by the people making it, or what do you think?
I think that anything goes, and I think that there will be commercial interests that come in, and there'll be like show formats that come in, but it'll be okay because there's lots of room for everything. And it's kind of like, that's why we made like Fire Ant, is that it's just an independent distribution. It's a system that anyone can use, and it's...
I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, Apple wants this to be called video podcasting. You know, it's like they love it because that's their brand. You know, they've branded this whole thing, and it's just like, you know what? People aren't going to call it that if they don't want to. Fire Ant exists. You know, you can do stuff not on iTunes. You have alternatives because people are building them, you know? And that's what's great about this is that, yeah, sure, iTunes can come in and, like, bring in all their, like, Disney podcasts and their Disney videos and whatever, but it's like, so what? There's 1,000 other people you can watch, you know?
All right.
How about it's you, Chris?
Oh, I think I agree. I think I agree with you that the longer run or the longer term vision is something that needs to be held on to. And that brings us to the end. I'd like to thank everybody. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
And visit momentshowing.com, ryanedit.blogspot.com, and freevlog.org. And of course, thank you to Madge Weinstein. We wish you a speedy recovery. This is Chris Weigel from Human Dog Productions, www.human-dog.com. The dash is very important. Goodbye.